There we go, and we're live. Welcome to another episode of Fire Builders. Today, I am joined by Laura Allen. Lauren, welcome yes. to the show.
Thank you for having me, Josh.
Thank you for being here. This is awesome. This is going to be a really interesting conversation. If you're not actually familiar with how Fire Builders works, we bring on experts onto this show. We talk about big ideas, but breaking them down into simple steps, things that you can do every single day. And today we're going to be talking about pitching, right?
Yes.
Yes. Because we've got the pitch girl here. Laura has helped so many people crafting their pitch, because that's the one thing that I feel that everybody wants and knows that they need, but never really spends time on. And so, Laura, tell everybody about like kind of what you do and how you got started, and then we're going to get right into it.
How I got started was another challenging time in the world, which was after 9/11. And I realized there are a lot of freelancers, there are a lot of tech people, and they were going to have to network if they wanted to get more business and to be able to survive. And I started to figure out the people who could explain who they were and what they did were going to do okay. And other people were not going to do okay. So I decided that people had to have or should have a 15-second pitch. You know, you distill it down, that elevator pitch, because most elevators are fast. So that was kind of the inspiration behind the 15-second pitch.
And it makes sense, because you can use it in so many different situations, right? You just never know when you're going to need it at the ready. You might meet somebody in Starbucks and you've got the time it takes to grab your coffee and walk out the door, you know, to your car. So having that, like thinking about it now and crafting it out is way better than trying to make something up all crazy on the spot, right? Because you're going to come off as just an insane person.
Right.
So with regards to pitching, right, what in your experience has been the one thing that people should do to really craft a good pitch?
Exactly as you say, they have to think about it beforehand. It doesn't have to be robotic. It doesn't have to be rehearsed. But I think a lot of people are under the illusion that they're good at being spontaneous. You may not be as good as you think you are, and you're going to run out of time. Crash and burn. So I once met these young entrepreneurs. They had a meeting with Apple. They had 22 minutes. They said, "Oh, we have 22 minutes. That's not very much time." And I'm thinking, 22 minutes. And after minute 8, the guy they were meeting with, the phone rang and the meeting was over. So they actually only had 8 minutes because they didn't get to the point fast enough. So you better get in there when you have the opportunity to pitch and it's Apple, you better make the biggest point the fastest. Otherwise the phone's going to ring and you know, you're out the door.
Yep, exactly. And so, you know, in that situation, right, I feel like 8 minutes is a long time to make your point. But you suggest shortening that down and we're talking like, you know, 15, 20 seconds, something like that. So as far as how people can go about creating that pitch, what would you suggest that they do?
Okay. So the first thing is you have to focus on one thing. So when the economy gets a little bit challenging as it is right now, what I see a lot of people do is they'll talk about all the things they're capable of. And I call that the kitchen sink pitch. So, you know, I have a bed and breakfast. I also walk dogs. I'm also a house painter. And, you know, it's that old cliche, jack of all trades, master of none. So you want to be an expert. We've heard a lot of people talk about being an expert, the go-to expert in one thing. So you want to decide what your one thing is. You can talk about other things later, but what do you want to lead with? And I think a lot of people, they don't test out their pitch. So they go to one networking event or they go on one Zoom call and they try it out. And people are like, oh, okay. They don't get that rousing, you know, response that they're hoping for. And they give up and they go on to something else. And the people who are smart test it out and tweak it and see when people are getting lost so that they can, you know, make it a little bit better and a little more compelling. But it's that one thing, focusing on one thing is key.
And actually, like, we didn't talk about this earlier, but I'm curious, what, once you find that one thing, like, is there an anatomy to this, to the good pitch, right? Is there like a kind of a formula or something that you suggest that people do?
Yes. I try to boil it down to the most important points. And if you want to kind of sketch it out yourself, it's four sentences. And they're short sentences because it's only 15 seconds. So it's not a full sheet of paper. It's four short sentences. And it's who you are. So that's your name. Hey, I'm Josh with Fire Builders, just like you did. What you do, and be specific and don't get clever. If you're a financial advisor, awesome. That's cool. Talk about that. If you're a chef, whatever it is, but if you confuse people in step two, you lose them because they're kind of like, oh, I kind of don't get it. I kind of tuned out. I'm thinking about dinner. Step number three is the crazy controversial step, which I love because it's going to set you apart. That's why you are the best at what you do. And you don't have to sound like an ass, you know, oh, here's why I'm the best, all boastful. It's what makes you different. But don't play small. What's one big thing that makes you different that someone is going to remember the next time they see you? And step number four is your call to action. So what do you want the person to do? Go to your website, do a free Zoom call to learn more, join your Facebook group, whatever it is. Most people miss step number four because they think it's obvious. And the people who really hammer that home, you know, join my Facebook group, get on my newsletter list, come to my free event. Those are the people that are able to get other people to join them in their endeavor. And I think that's what you need right now. We're dying for connection, you know, so free Facebook group, whatever it is, but you have to deliver with that free thing. You have to over deliver.
And what about, so I can see that working for being online. What if you're talking to somebody in person? Do you also recommend having some type of call to action?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you sort of leave it open-ended. So say you're in real estate. I'm choosing, you know, challenging markets because these are good challenges right now. Say you're in real estate. Do you want to meet with a person? Are you an expert on Park Avenue and you have a great place on Park Avenue that you can show them a virtual tour of the place right now? And you can give them a private showing as soon as we're out of lockdown. I think it's those people that are so specific, they get the opportunities. And the people who say, oh, I'm in real estate, I can help you find an $800 sublet in the East Village, or I can help you find a $20 million place on Park Avenue. Not really. You could be great. If you focus on the East Village, that could be awesome. I lived there for many years. I loved it. But you want to have that niche. So I talk about having a pitch for every niche. Own it. If you're in the East Village, own it. There are people that will want to live there. Park Avenue, that's a niche. So don't try to be all things to all people.
Yep, exactly. It's almost like focus on, like you said, what you're great at, not necessarily what you're just good at and what you could do. It's like what you're amazing at, the one thing that you're amazing at. So once you sort of hone in on this and this type of idea, how, or maybe you have, honestly, if it was me, I would have a whole bunch of ideas on where I could go. So how do you suggest that people actually focus on that one thing? How do they get from 20 ideas to one good one?
You may have more than one idea. And I have clients, they're Renaissance people. They do more than one thing, but they only pitch one thing at a time. So you're going to focus in on what you think people need. Again, right now, people are starved for connection. You know, I've been in this condo for 50 days. I'm like, I need something. So if you can connect me, if you can put me on a cool Zoom call, if you can introduce me to people, I'm interested. So I would say figure out what people really want and really need right now. It's different than it was 6 weeks ago, and it might be different 6 weeks from now. And you test it out. but you need to be consistent with that pitch. I could go to one networking event or go on one Zoom call, and it's not my people. They don't connect with me. They don't like people with, you know, bold hair and, you know, leopard print. That might not be my tribe, the horns. They don't dig it. Like, it's way too much for them. And I might go on another call and people are like, ooh, I like the horns and the pitchfork, and that's my thing. So look for your tribe. We've heard this a lot before, but I think right now I'm doubling down with my tribe. I'm not trying to meet a lot of strangers on LinkedIn, because people are looking for a reason not to connect with me right now. They have a lot of connections. Josh, I noticed we're not connected on LinkedIn. So I sent you a request today and you would be 1001. I have 1001 connections on LinkedIn. I'm going to go back in. For some reason, those people connected with me before. I'm going to go back in and figure out how I can be useful to the people who have already connected with me. Because right now it's tough, because there's a lot of bad, terrible pitching out there. Hey, Laura, let's connect on LinkedIn. So Laura, let me, 1 second later. So Laura, let me know if I can answer any questions about my $15,000 mastermind group.
Right. I get that all the time too, where they just are like, hey, it was really great to connect. By the way, how big is your email list? And you're just like, whoa, hold on here.
Like, that's private, my email list. You know, people are sophisticated and they're really kind of tired of that. And it's happened too many times. So, you know, Josh, if I saw you playing Radiohead, if I saw you playing Creep, I might message you and say, oh, you know, I saw Radiohead back in 1998 at Roseland, amazing show. I'm going to start with something that's not the hardcore pitch. I'm going to see if there's another, what are the other things we have in common? Because all things considered, I'd rather do business with people that have other things in common that I like, because those are the people I'm going to end up hanging out with and spending a lot of time with. So let's connect and see if we're compatible on those things. And then maybe down the road, I can tell you something I'm working on that you might be interested in. Oh, you're going to be a lot more receptive to that down the road too.
100%. That is so true. Like, you know, people just want to do business with other people that they like, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't like the person, it's probably not going to go anywhere. So I completely agree. Do a little bit of research. And I really like your idea of testing it out, but being consistent with it. So don't just do it, you know, create a pitch and then give it to one person and let them be the judge of everything and kind of either make or break that pitch for you. You got to test it with a whole bunch of people to really get a good feel. So I completely agree with all of that. That's a really good way to do it. And by the way, like, to test these pitches, how do you do it? I mean, do you just, aside from doing it with friends and family and saying, hey, do you mind if I like run this by you? How do you do it with just acquaintances and stuff? Do you just attack them and they're like, hey, listen to this pitch? Or what do you suggest that people do to actually like test it out in the wild?
So we think about pitching and we put a lot of, you know, oh, I'm going to go on Shark Tank or something. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have the perfect pitch. And in reality, if we're not thinking about pitching, what we do if we hang out with other entrepreneurs, like a lot of us do, is we call somebody up on the phone. So my friend and client, Gabby, called me up one day. She said, I have an idea. I want to run it by you. I think it's a good one. It's called 48-Hour Power Jaunt. And I'm like, 48-Hour Power Jaunt. I think I know what that is, but tell me what you think that is. And she said, it is a trip of a lifetime that you take in 2 days. And I'm like, what? Because I wasn't a world traveler. And I said, well, you know, I said all the things that somebody that's not a traveler would say. Oh, it takes too long to get to Barcelona. You know, I don't want to be on a flight that long for 2 days. And she overcame all of my objections. And I said, this is good. Said, I'm going to go out tonight. I was out with my husband and a friend. And I said, here's something I'm working on. I didn't give them the hard sell. I said, here's something I'm working on. My husband said, well, I want to do it. I definitely want to do it. And his friend said the same, said, I'm interested in Paris. You get people thinking about it and they start thinking very specifically, very quickly. Well, I'd like to go to Greece, but I don't know if that makes sense. And you just start talking to people about it. And that kind of, it lets you know if they're interested. And here's the interesting thing. People would say, well, you know, how much does that cost? Well, it's expensive because everything is mapped out for you. So if you're somebody who wants the least expensive trip, this isn't for you, and that's okay. It's not for everybody. So we went out, we started selling it without a website, without a business card, without a business plan. We just went out and started talking to people about it. And some people said, well, I need 6 days in Greece. And Gabby said, okay.
I can make that happen.
I can make that happen. 6 days. Cool. We can do that.
Yeah. But I do. That's a good insight with just not giving them the hard sell, just sort of like putting the feelers out with some of these new ideas, but describing them in a very, you know, mapped out way, the way that you've crafted this pitch, and just to see how they respond. Cause I think that if people weren't interested in it, hopefully they would tell you. But sometimes they won't. And so you just kind of have to gauge on body language and feel whether or not they're sort of into it.
Yeah. And I think in places like New York, people are very straightforward. I've made the joke that when you're pitching in LA, you have no idea. Is a deal done? Are they ever, you know, everything's kind of a maybe out there. They're like, I don't know. I don't know if this deal is getting done. I don't know if it's a forever maybe. So you also have to know your audience too. Because if you're pitching in New York and somebody's not interested, they're kind of going to let you know in a fast way. Usually like 48 hour power jaunt, not for me. Like I like mapping out all my own travel. I do everything on Expedia. Cool. That's cool. And I think the other thing about pitching is you don't have to convince anyone. You'll find the right people. I think it's when we get into this, you know, desperation mode, which a lot of people are in, and it's not anybody's fault, but you get into this desperation mode to close business, and it turns out to be a real nightmare. Anytime I've pushed somebody a little too hard, it's come back to bite me because they're not certain, you know? So
yeah.
You have to have that faith.
Yep, exactly. And you have to just have, I guess, the experience of knowing when to push and when to back off, right? And it's just learned by practicing over and over again with people.
Right.
So this was, I hope a lot of people that are watching this got some serious tips out of this for crafting their own pitches. Just to recap, if you're joining us now, the one thing that is suggested is to literally do that, only focus on one thing, right? Even if you do a whole bunch of cool stuff, find the one thing that you're great at and only pitch that one thing. Be very clear on that. The formula that you've said, and let me make sure that I have this right, who you are, what you do, right? But again, I really like the idea of not trying to be clever. I feel like a lot of people try to be super clever with this to be memorable. And I think that you're right. Like if it's too clever and they have to think too much, people have to think too much about interpreting that it's a turnoff at the very beginning.
Right.
So just be like, blam, this is what I do. Why you're the best at it. And then your call to action, having them do the next step, whatever that is.
And I think also if you can get to the point quickly, you kind of diffuse that energy sometimes because, you know, say I'm talking to someone and, oh, Laura, what do you do? And I could say, well, I'm going to make it really quick for you. I can tell you in 15 seconds. And they're like, okay, that's cool. So you're kind of diffusing that long-winded. People get anxious when someone is going on for 15 or 20 minutes, literally, and you're like, I have no idea what the hell management consultant.
Right.
I don't know what the hell that means. You know,
yeah.
Help me out. So yeah. That's where people get resistant.
Yep. I can see that. And then, I mean, honestly, and for people that are listening now, the best way is just to practice. Just get out there, tell people about the idea. Don't worry about the hard sell, but but be consistent with it. Try and do maybe one person a day, right? Yeah. Just try find one person a day that you run this by and see how it goes. And then after a week, look back at how the responses were and see whether or not it's working the way that you think, or maybe you need to tweak some stuff. So this has been amazing, this conversation. Tell people listening now what you're doing, what you got going on in your life, and how people can connect with you if they want to learn more.
Yeah. I put together a free Facebook group, which is called Pitch and Pivot. A lot of people are talking about pivoting. So we get together in that group, and that's a place where people test out some of their pitches and some of their ideas. And people are very straightforward, and they'll tell you, I don't like this. I saw somebody else who did something similar, or I think it has merit. So people are honest and straightforward. And also an idea that people seem to like is I'm doing a semi-weekly, almost every week call, which is called Pitch and Prosecco. So you get on the call, you give your pitch. It's a friendly group, which I think is important, because sometimes, you know, you go to these events or you go on some of these calls and you're intimidated. It's a friendly group. People give you useful feedback. There's no hard sell from anybody. Everybody gets a chance. And I think people feel better because they get excited by ideas other people have. Like, oh, that's really cool that you're doing. You're focusing on video or whatever it is you're doing. So it's very supportive, and it's a good group of people, and it helps us all. You know, we all got to do what we got to do to stay in business. It's not easy. But if we can focus on connecting instead of the hard sell, that itchy, you know, immediate, hey, Laura, how can I help you with your business? Like, you don't know anything right about my business. I don't know. You know, spend 3 minutes looking at all my information on LinkedIn, and then let me know down the road. So I think it's all about connecting and then letting people know, you know, wait until they ask you. I know it's hard.
Yeah. So
we all want to get to the point where we can say what we do. But wait until they ask, then they're a lot more receptive than if you just shove it in their face.
Take this.
Take this pitch. Get on the elevator.
So you've got the Facebook group, the weekly yes. call. Can they find that out on the website, on your website?
Well, the best way is the old school way, which is laura@thepitchgirl.com. Old okay. fashioned email. And I won't put you on a list. I won't spam you. I'll let you know about the free Facebook group, the free call. You know, I try to be nonchalant about it and make pitching a little less scary for people.
Exactly. So this is great. Well, yes,
pitchfork.
I love that. Pitchfork and devil horns. I mean, it's basically what you do. You speak in front of big groups. I've seen yeah. you do it. It's awesome. People get into it.
The most conservative people, the corporate lawyers, the most conservative people are the people that run up there and they're like, well, I'm already a lawyer, so I might as well put the devil horns on. Let's see if we have them. Here we go. It's silly. And I know, you know, if you see me doing this, I might look silly, but you might be a little less afraid the next time you need to pitch. Hey, there's this girl and she has a pitch, you know, pitchfork and horns on her head. It's all about the pitch. It's all about having fun. We're all, you know, in a challenging time right now. So if you can make people feel at ease, you're going to find your people. There might be some people like, ooh, that's ridiculous. I would never. That's cool. That's not my person. Yeah. They're never going to
get the hell out.
Pitch. That's cool.
and just own. So that everybody knows, thanks Stephen for putting this up. He just wanted to put this in. Here's the Facebook group. So just in case, yes. So Pitch and Pivot. So check that out. And also, actually, a question just came through. So is this any good for practicing story pitches, like for a film idea? Yeah. What would you say about that?
Yes. Hell yes. Because that we learn a lot about pitching in Hollywood. There are a lot of, you know, Get Shorty is an amazing film about pitching in Hollywood. Everybody has a screenplay. I'm rewatching The Sopranos, and you know, Christopher has his screenplay. So when we think about pitching films and pitching TV ideas, sometimes we'll say it's The Sopranos meets Six Feet Under meets Breaking Bad. And if you don't like any of those shows, that's not going to be a good fit for you. Or, you know, you think of those things, it's very effective. Musicians too. A lot of musicians will say, well, my music doesn't sound like any other music. And you put it on, you're like, well, it kind of sounds like Pink Floyd. Well, just say Pink Floyd meets, you know, Dave Matthews or whatever it is. Because then someone is going to have, you know, they might be inspired to want to hear, what the hell would that sound like? If you say it sounds like no one else, and you meet someone like my friend Arielle, who does music PR, she's going to say, well, you're making me do too much work. Give me a little bit of a hint about how I could market this. If it sounds like something no one's ever heard, it's going to be pretty challenging to market.
Yeah. I mean, no one, if that's the case, I mean, no one can imagine what that is. How can they ever imagine it? Because they've never heard it. It makes no sense. And I agree. I think, you know, the idea of using two or three existing schemas that people have in their head, they already know what Pink Floyd is. They already know what Dave Matthews Band is. So it just allows them to process your unique thing much faster, so much faster. And so I completely agree. It's like that story I'm sure you've heard with what were they pitching? Like Aliens, right? The movie Aliens. And the way that they did it was they said it was like the movie Jaws, but on a spaceship. And hey, you know, that works.
It makes you want to learn more. And a lot of people would start telling you about, you know, there's this massive creature and it has acid for blood. You're like, wait a minute, I don't know if I'm along for this ride or not, you know? So that you give people a place to start. And my friend Zach, his pitch has to do with the band Train. He had the band Train in one of the pitches, and he would meet these edgy people and like, I hate Train. I hate that band. And I looked it up. I did the research. They've sold 60 million albums. Like, maybe you edgy, you know, punk rock people don't like it, but 60 million other people do. So he kept that example in his pitch. It has to be, you have to deliver. That's the whole thing. If it's going to be like Jaws on a spaceship,
yeah,
you have to be able to deliver something similar.
Then it better be Jaws on a spaceship. Otherwise, your next pitch is just going to be like out the door.
Right.
Yeah. So this was awesome. So if you guys want to learn more and just understand how to better craft your pitch, get it down to 15 seconds, learn more about what Laura does, how she helps people, go check out her website. Go check out Pitch and Pivot on Facebook. Amazing group. And Laura, thanks again for being here. This has been incredible.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, you know, join us next time on the next episode of Fire Builders Live, which we're filming today on a Saturday. So tomorrow we won't have one, but Monday we start back up again. So have a wonderful day. And this is Laura and I signing off. Adios.